from WNYC Studios.
Fridays, 2 to 4 p.m. on Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Catskill. WJFF Jeffersonville. W233AH Monticello.
Good evening, and welcome to a journey where pixels meet melodies and controllers become conductors. This is Virtual Soundscapes on WJFF Radio Catskill. I'm your host, Matt Hurtado, and we've got a fun evening ahead of us as we dive into an eclectic mix of video game music. At the end of tonight's episode, I'm joined by Kyle Bossman of Delayed Input to talk shop about what makes a good video game trailer, as well as some of the behind the scenes of what goes into productions of shows like the Game Awards. Now, let's listen to one of the best video game musical numbers ever created, Herald of Darkness, from Alan Wake 2.
From what I gathered, you grew up nice and sheltered with mama's pretty stories and your own made up theory.
And mama gave me a magic clicker.
Well, yes, I think it's true and fair to say.
Come on. I'll show you the herald.
like Tom Zane before him, and maybe they'd be happy once again. Just one shot, one more chance for him to save their marriage away from the city, a romantic getaway. Not surrender to
echo seems to seek out again and again until I figure it out to bring this song to its end.
That was Herald of Darkness from Alan Wake 2, written by the fictional in-game band called the Old Gods of Asgard, but played by the real band Poets of the Fall from Finland. The Alan Wake series has a fantastic range of music like our next song, Jotan Jo, or Nightless Night, sung by Finnish actor Martti Suosalo.
Painajainen hän luoksesi saapuu, hänet verhottu on varjojen kaapuun, monta tarinaa hänestä kerrotaan.
pääsessä milloinkaan. Hän peilistä sua tuli ottaa, murhan polte se kruunui mua. Tuon katseen tunnet et voi unohtaa, vaik kasvot piiloutuu veriverhon taan. On yötön yö, se järjen syö. On yötön yö, se miehen syö. Puukko hippaan tanssi pian vaihtuu, irveen vääntyy jo verinen suu. Viinapullosta korkki hukataan, tupen rapinan vain kuulee korissaan.
なのに け置き去り、ほんまにろくな男やない、その色指は外します、ざまみろせいせい、
this is Virtual Soundscapes here on Radio Catskill. I'm your host, Matt Hurtado. We just heard Yotan Yo finish for Nightless Night from Alan Wake 2, followed by Bakamitai, or I've Been a Fool from Yakuza 0. Both certified karaoke bangers from very different parts of the world. We're going to take a quick ad break, but we'll have more great video game music as well as an interview with Kyle Bossman from Delayed Input at the end of the show.
I'm Jason Tuga. This Friday on The Mixtape, we will listen to a carefully curated set of Joy Division and New Order covers. Far-flung artists in all different styles and genres. Listen on air at 90.5 FM, or on your phone or smart speaker, or online at wjffradio.org.
Hey, this is DJ Chucks of Old School Sessions. Please join me and Selector Starkey at our new time, 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. Saturday night.
Old school, baby. Old school, baby. Old school, baby. Old school, baby.
That's Old School Sessions right here on WJFF, 8 to midnight, Saturday night, only on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to Virtual Soundscapes right here on Radio Catskill. I'm your host, Matt Hurtado. Let's jump right back into some of the best music from video games and hear the iconic Jump Up Superstar from Mario Odyssey.
Here we go, all the rails. Don't you know it's time to raise ourselves? It's freedom like you never knew. Or a pass, say the word, I'll be there in a flash. You could say my hat is off to you.
Don't fear, don't shed a tear, 'cause I'll be here. Here we go!
The wheel, take a chance. Every journey starts a new romance. A new world's calling out to you. Take a turn on the path. Find a new addition to the cast. You know that any captain needs a crew.
Thank you.
it's time to rock with the biggity buck bumble. What about now? It's time to rock with the biggity buck bumble.
Bump to the bump to the bump to the bass. Bump to the bump to the bumble. Bump to the bump to the bump to the bass. Bump to the bump to the bumble. Bump to the bump to the bump to the bass. Bump to the bump to the bumble. Bump to the bump to the bump to the bass. Bump to the bump to the bumble. Bump to the boot to the boot to the boot boot. Bump to the bass of the bass bass bass. Bump to the boot to the boot to the boot. Bump to the bass of the bass bass bass.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal man, this a man, the whole of them. Phenomenal man, this a phenomenal man, this a man, the whole of them.
Bump to the boot, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the boot, to the bump, to the boot, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the boot, to the bump, to the boot, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the boot, to the bump, to the boot, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the boot, to the bump, bump, to the bump, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the bump, to the bump. To the bump, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the bump, to the bump. Bump to the bump, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the bump, to the bump. Bump to the bump, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the bump, to the bump. Bump to the boot, to the boot, to the boot, boot. Bump to the bass, to the bass, bass, bass. Bump to the boot, to the boot, to the boot. Bump to the bass, to the bass, bass, bass.
Phenomenal man. This a phenomenal man. This a man, the whole of them. Phenomenal man. This a phenomenal man.
Bump to the boot, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the boot, to the bump, to the boot, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the boot, to the bump, to the boot, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the boot, to the bump, to the boot, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the boot, to the bump, bump, to the bump, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the bump, to the bump, bump, to the bump, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the bump, to the bump, bump, to the bump, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the bump, to the bump, bump, to the bump, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the bump, to the bump. Bump to the boot, to the boot, to the boot, boot. Bump to the bass of the bass, bass, bass. Bump to the boot, to the boot, to the boot. Bump to the bass of the bass, bass, bass.
Phenomenal man. Phenomenal man. This a phenomenal man. Phenomenal man. This a man, the whole of them. Phenomenal man. Phenomenal man. Phenomenal man. Phenomenal man. This a phenomenal man. Phenomenal man. This a man, the whole of them.
Bump to the boot, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the boot, to the bump, to the boot, to the bump, to the bass. Bump to the boot, to the bump, to the boot.
That was the insanely catchy title theme from Buck Bumble, written by legendary video game musician Justin Charvona, who went on to work on game soundtracks like Croc, Alien Resurrection, and Aragorn's Quest. Before that, we heard Staff Roll from Katamari Damacy and Jump Up Superstar from Super Mario Odyssey, performed by Kate Higgins. Before we get to our interview with Kyle Bossman, let's take a listen to the song he recommended for this show, the legendary theme from Guitaru Man. This is Virtual Soundscapes on Radio Catskill. I'm Matt Hurtado. And that last song was Electronica in the Velvet Room from Persona 4, with Welcome to Station Square from Sonic Adventure Special Remix right before it. Both cozy games in their own right, but I have a special place in my heart for Sonic Adventure, and would certainly love to see a new third entry into the franchise. With our music out of the way, now let's head to the land of video game news and trailer reviews and interview Kyle Bossman of Delayed Input. You're listening to Virtual Soundscapes on WJFF Radio Catskill. I'm your host, Matt Hurtado, and today I'm joined by Kyle Bossman, host of Delayed Input on YouTube. Kyle, thanks for joining me.
Happy to be here.
So Kyle, you've had a really interesting and unique career in the industry, from game trailers to Easy Allies to the Game Awards, Gamescom, and Delayed Input. How did this all start for you?
I remember this is what a funny like crossroads moment, right? So the think of Iron Man 2, the year that came out, maybe that's like 2010. Yeah. I'm living in LA and we got tickets to go opening night and we're so excited. But one of my friends says, I can't go. I'm going to this gaming event that night. And the three other friends are like, What are you talking about, bro? Why would you go to a gaming event instead of Iron Man 2? That's so stupid. It was like a Street Fighter, like fight night kind of thing where you could get like cool art. And they were just kind of like, I think, playing Street Fighter 4 before it came out. So we were so stoked because John Favreau and Robert Downey Jr. showed up at the premiere to say, hey, enjoy the movie, right? And they're like, oh, dude, you're not going to believe what we just saw. You missed out so much. But what that friend did who went to the gaming event was network. He was like shaking hands and schmoozing. So he met the guy who ran that event as part of I Am 8-Bit, which, is pretty large now in terms of like producing game merch and I think even publishing games. And so that was actually like him making that connection. He eventually got hired at IM8-Bit, and then so I would do like some stuff for IM8-Bit, like when Street Fighter 4 launched, like helping them with that stuff, like when Marvel versus Capcom 3 launched, there'd be like a big party in LA where they would like rent out this huge space downtown, and that was cool. But basically it would be like me like setting up monitors and stuff and like making sure that like the decorations are in place and everything gets cleaned up at the end of the night. But just like, you know, just like these things are, I guess, in LA, right? Where the head of IM8-Bit was friends with my eventual boss at Game Trailers. And so he's like, you should apply for that job and tell him like, I know he's looking for somebody. Tell him it's me who recommended you, you know? And so then I had that job interview for GTTV, which was a Game Trailers TV show that aired at like 1 a.m. Thursday nights on Spike TV. They were looking for a production assistant. And, I just interviewed there. I feel, you know what I mean? Like they liked me. they liked how I did. They liked how how I answered the very like gamer-esque interview questions, I guess. And so, yeah, I had that production assistant job at Game Trailers for a while, for like 2 or 3 years. And I wasn't like on camera. I would like write stuff for the show, but it wasn't until like Jeff Keighley was like consulting for Game Trailers, and he says that like, hey, if this website that is based on making videos is going to succeed, it needs to be more personality based, you know, because like YouTube was popping up, like it was just like, you know, he could see gaming changing, right? Or the media landscape for gaming changing. He says like, you need more personality based stuff. He says the PlayStation 4 well and the next Xbox are about to like a launch, right? We need content all about that. So that was my opportunity. I like raised my hand. I was like, I have an idea for a video. Can I do it? And it was weird because I was not like a talkative person in the office. I wasn't like you would have no idea that I was like confident in my own ability to perform and write. But Keighley said, yeah, go for it. And so, yeah, I just got one of the camera people from Game Trailers. We like set up in a room we should not have set up in and mic'd it up. And Gosh, it's such a weird thing to think about. But yeah, I made one video, right? I made do's and don'ts for the reveal of the PlayStation 4. And that like kind of like, honestly, a rare thing where like one video, one good video was enough to like launch me. And so ever since then, I've been like riding that that wave.
That's incredible. I actually just found out this morning that our station manager here used to work at Spike TV and helped Jeff one of the Game Awards. I don't remember which one, but it's really cool.
That's so crazy.
So you've had an extensive history examining game trailers, talking about, you know, gaming events. So I just have to ask you, what's your favorite game trailer of all time and why?
It's Final Fantasy VII Remake, the reveal trailer still. And, it's a cheap trailer, but you ask me my favorite trailer, it's like one that has impact, one that is aware of what it's about to be like. Yeah. Not a lot of trailers have the opportunity to hit as hard as that one does, just based off of, the context of the setup, right? Where it's like a thing that was promised like a decade earlier, right? Like a PS3 launch, they were like showing Final Fantasy VII stuff. And they had really strung people along and it just seemed like an impossible dream, right? And so to have this trailer that seems to acknowledge that it is going to take on this impossible dream and it's aware of its impact and then it pays it off, you know? And it's paced so well. The narration is like so perfect. Music just hits really hard. For me, that's a longstanding, yet to be defeated best trailer of all time, in my opinion.
I think I would agree with you there. The only caveat I would say about that is the year they revealed that, it was PAX East in Boston. And I was working at a video game company. We were showing our game. It was directly across from their booth. And so it was just Barrett yelling at me from that trailer all day long for 3 days straight. And I think that maybe knocked it down a point. But otherwise, I totally agree. It was such a good payoff for such a long time coming.
What was your game?
It was called Disintegration. And it unfortunately disintegrated shortly after. That, so, yeah. but it was fun. It was fun to be there. It was cool. We had like a big, like, stupid disintegration, like, thing that people could ride on, you know, like across from the Final Fantasy motorbike. So
no, what is a disintegration thing?
They're like these hover bikes basically. So
oh, cool.
Like, yeah, so it was made by the guy who had originally made Halo 2, Marcus Lehto, and he wanted to bring back like that kind of Halo 2 vibe, but instead of just having it be a first person shooter, it also had like squad mechanics. So you controlled like a 3-person squad and you're on your hover bike. It was a cool game, but you know, I just didn't hit the market at the right time.
I'll tell you today, it sounds cool.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that endorsement. So we talked about, you know, your favorite game trailer, Kyle. What if you could make the perfect game trailer, what would be the Kyle Bossman's perfect game trailer?
So I'll tell you honestly, like when I listen to music, I imagine the trailer that I would want to make listening to this song. Again, like imagine like a video game trailer for the song I'm listening to. But I've like it depends on what your game is, right? Like if you are like a sequel in a long-standing franchise, you got a little more room to be, I think, like your dialogue matters more. Right. I was watching, the Triple I Indie Initiative, event, and a trailer ended with a line like, I think there might be something deeper in the darkness. And like what stood out to me is that line means nothing when we don't know anything about your world in the first place. Right. If Mickey Mouse says, I think there's something deeper in the darkness, that's like, that hits you. But like if a dark game with dark characters says, I think there's something deeper in the darkness, it means nothing. So anyway, the question was my perfect trailer, right? It depends on like what my ideal game is, but I think the perfect trailer like hits you. You know what I mean? The perfect trailer makes an impact. The perfect trailer, somebody remembers and smiles when they think about it a year later. And so like, I think it's something that isn't It isn't like, oh yeah, it's like a trailer you've already seen before, but this, you know, it's just something, it's something that perfectly suits whatever your trailer is. And in this crazy day when we watch, you know, 500 videos in a day, it's like, I don't know how to describe it. It hits, you know what I mean? Like the perfect trailer hits you. And, yeah, I don't know how to capture it, but I always imagine that's the dream. That's my dream, is to make a trailer that hits you.
All right. Yeah. That's a valid answer to that question. Mm-hmm. So aside from trailers and reviewing videos and stuff like that, you've worked on both the Game Awards and Gamescom, which are two of the biggest events now, especially since E3 is dead. What are some of the aspects of putting together those shows that you think would surprise the average viewer?
So, yeah, to be clear, like my involvement is just on like the show end. For like, so like for Gamescom, it's just like opening night live and that free show. And for the Game Awards, it's just like on the writing side of the show and not necessarily like the awards half itself. But one thing that like personally I'm always curious about is like, you kind of get a sense when there's something happening on the stage, you were wondering whose idea it was, you know? And so like sometimes, you know, like I'm looking at the rundown and I see the, like a script for a bit and I'm like, did we come up with this or did they come up with this? And what I find really surprising is that a lot of times you see like an absolutely dumb bit on stage that dies where like, you know, some performer or, you know, like Razorhead robot is like, you know, just taking over the scene. What I find so surprising is that the marketing team like cares deeply and thought all of this through and has like a whole advertising deck just for this one moment. Like they describe each paragraph and each purpose of what each part of this sentence is supposed to mean, right? And so like the absolute dumbest bits I've seen at shows like this tend to like have a lot of thought and process put into them, which is astounding to me.
I would love to see the like the slide deck pitch for getting Al Pacino up on stage.
No, you know what? No comment.
All right. So let's go back to just talking games here. You talked recently in an episode of Delayed Input about how you feel video game contentedness, and you compared Final Fantasy VII Rebirth to a giant roast goose. Mm-hmm. So when you've wrapped up that meal and your table is just goose bones, what video game meal are you most looking forward to next?
You can't go meal to meal. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't go from like what you believe is maybe one of your favorite games of the last 3 years straight to like another big one. You know, you can't go goose to goose. And so like, one thing here's the thing. Tekken 8 put out a mode that I feel like I've been asking fighting games to be doing for years now, where it's like, they had this whole separate campaign that treats you like an absolute new person to fighting games and lets you grow and grow. And like, there's kind of like some context of you growing from arcade to arcade and learning new moves and like how to handle the reactions and stuff. And unfortunately I ignored it, right? It came out the same day as like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, right? And so, yeah, obviously I'm going to play the turn-based RPG, but I want to go back to that thing. So yeah, that's like that's a breakfast, I guess, a little Tekken 8 breakfast. I honestly I don't expect to eat another goose for the rest of this year. I feel like I like just played my game of the year and I feel grateful for it. And I don't expect to reach those highs again. And that's like, I'm okay. I'm good. My belly is full.
Right. Goose season is over now.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. Tekken 8 is a great, great game. I love that campaign was insane.
So wait, did you play through like the arcade campaign?
I haven't. I played through the single player story campaign, but I haven't actually gotten through the arcade campaign yet.
Same. That's what I did. Yeah. And I do think, yeah, the story campaign is just fun. It's just bonkers.
Yeah. I think it was a great addition to the Tekken story. I mean, it's as ridiculous as all of that is. So Finally, last question here, Kyle. As someone who enjoys making video game bets, what bet would you place on the future of the industry in the next coming few years?
I feel like there's no way Nintendo is chill for 5 years. Currently when we're doing this interview, right, it's in a time of like a chilled hibernating Nintendo where they're putting out like a Luigi's Mansion 2 remake and a Thousand Year Door remake and like Princess Peach Showtime, right? So I expect that like the next 5 years will be like heavily influenced by like whatever Nintendo is doing. And what's kind of strange about it is I was thinking that like coming into the Switch, right, after the Wii U, there was so much anticipation for Nintendo's next thing. It's like we were desperate for it. Like, please end this. What is next? What are you doing next? And I honestly, frankly, at this moment, don't feel that. Maybe the anticipation will grow as we get closer to whatever they're launching next year. But my bet for the next 5 years is that like Nintendo is okay. Maybe this isn't easy. You know what? This is not a hot take. But my bet is that Nintendo is killing it. My bet is that Nintendo flipped it all again, and people are like playing catch up to whatever Nintendo just did. Still.
Yeah, the bear's gonna wake up out of hibernation and come out swinging.
Yeah, but you know, it's gonna come out of hibernation and come out dancing and singing. You know, it's just gonna be doing something you never expect a bear to do. Is what I'm betting on.
All right, I think that's a great bet. Kyle Bossman of Delayed Input. You can find him on YouTube at youtube.com/delayedinput. Is that right, Kyle?
It's /Kyle Bossman actually.
/Kyle Bossman. All right, thank you. So youtube.com/Kyle Bossman. Watch Delayed Input, and thank you so much for being on the show, Kyle.
This was fun. Thank you.
I'm Matt Hurtado, and while it's game over for this episode of Virtual Soundscapes here on Radio Catskill, if you enjoyed the show and want to hear it again, or listen to interviews with Kyle or any of our previous guests, you can find them online at wjffradio.org/podcasts or any of your favorite podcast apps. Please tune in next week on Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern for more great video game music. Have a good evening.
Support comes from Jeff Bank, Sullivan County's community bank, celebrating 110 years of service this year, offering deposit and loan products for all your banking needs. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender. National Mortgage Licensing System and Registry Identification Number 405318. Jeff Bank, still banking strong. And support comes from listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. This week, we've got the authors of some of the new food books we're super excited about. From quick meals amped up by the Asian pantry to a tour of modern African home cooking to the most